Today on Vox Talks, the challenges and opportunities of digital trade. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Digital trade is hard to define, it's hard to measure, it's hard to regulate, but it is also an important driver of growth today, and even more so since COVID-19 accelerated now what we all have to call the digital transition. At the beginning of March, the UK Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport and the UK Trade Policy Observatory organised a conference on the topic. It was called Addressing Impediments to Digital Trade, and now a new Vox EU ebook gathers the papers from that conference. Well, the editors of the ebook are Ingo Borchert, he's the Deputy Director of the UK Trade Policy Observatory, and Alan Winters, he was founding director of the observatory, both from the University of Sussex, of course, and they both joined me today. Ingo, hello.
Hello, Tim.
And Alan, you're there as well.
Indeed, I am. Hello.
Now, welcome to Vox Talks, both of you. Ingo, if I can start with you. Do we have a clear definition of what digital trade is? Are we talking about the services that are provided or the data that's crossing the border or both? What is it?
Unfortunately, there isn't a clear definition, but the approach followed by international organizations such as the OECD, the WTO, or the IMF is to define digital trade as all trade that is digitally ordered and or digitally delivered. Now, for the first part, the digitally ordered part, that's basically the OECD's definition of e-commerce. So the international sale or purchase of a good or service, as long as it's being conducted over computer networks. And the second part, the digitally delivered part, that's understood to be largely services. Services delivered through electronic means, you know, finance and insurance, telecoms, computer services or divisions. Data underpin digital trade in a very significant way, but they are not part of the definition of digital trade or its estimated value.
Do we know how much of this digital trade there is or how fast digital trade is growing?
I wish I knew. So here are some guesstimates. On the digitally ordered part, the EU has estimated that in 2019, the global value of e-commerce sales stood at around 3.2 trillion euros. That's about 3.5 trillion pounds sterling. On the digitally delivered part, which is the services part, and assuming that about 60% of global other commercial services can potentially be digitally delivered, that would add in another 2 trillion or so in 2019. That might be severely underestimated, but if you were willing to add these two figures up, I think we would land at a ballpark of $5.5 to $6 trillion, and that's about a quarter of total world trade in 2019.
When we think of trade in goods, there's that story, isn't there, that firms grow and they eventually become importers and exporters of goods when they reach a certain size or a certain maturity. It seems to me that digital trade doesn't follow the same narrative.
That's exactly right. I mean, we've got some very robust stylized facts that indicate that larger firms, and therefore naturally the older ones, are more likely to export or import in the first place. And if they do, it's typically the largest firms who trade many products to many destinations. Now, it's widely appreciated that digital trade offers tremendous opportunities for micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, the SMEs, as we call it, especially in creative industries or similar services. You know, for instance, again, just to kick a number, About in 2019 in the UK, the smallest businesses, those with fewer than 10 employees, were able to capture $4.5 billion worth of overseas e-commerce sales that are coming in from abroad. And I think that's much more than in other parts of the economy. Now, that said, I think the compliance costs with all sorts of regulations, including privacy and personal data protection, you know, are costs that are typically harder to shoulder for small firms compared to large firms. But I do think that the digital economy offers tremendous opportunities for small firms in particular.
So let's have a look at some of these challenges. The first one surprised me. Protectionism. We've been discussing this a lot in the last few years. It's a complicated topic for trade in goods, but it seems that even the definition of protectionism is a problem when we're dealing with digital trade.
Well, it's true. Protectionism can come in many forms and shapes. Now, in the ebook, Susan Aronson offers a very nice and lucid discussion of what digital protectionism is. And because of its inherent link to and reliance on data, its barriers to cross-border data flows that can constitute protectionism in the digital economy. So, you know, from that angle, you know, there are the obvious candidates like any regulation about data protection or data to be stored locally only, or that local computer facilities be used, are the obvious ones. But that angle can turn up some surprising forms of protectionism. For instance, policies to limit the spread of disinformation, privacy labels for apps, cybersecurity rules, censorship, all the way to competition policies, which are not your usual suspect of protectionism, but they play a big role in the digital economy.
And we also have national differences, don't we, in the attitudes to data protection, as we discussed, or data privacy, or how data governance should be undertaken, and certainly between Europe and the US and China. Do these affect growth in digital trade?
The world economy has got three major players in this area, and as you say, they're have very different approaches. They all believe they spot protectionism in the other two and not in themselves, but that's hardly an informative statement. They have different approaches, particularly over issues of privacy, personal data protection. The EU places that very high on the agenda, the US much less so, much more concerned about the free flow of information to help commerce. The Chinese place, as it were, national privacy very high. They don't want to interact with other people, but of course feel that they have access to individuals' data fairly readily. So these things do cause very substantial difficulties, because if they can't agree on how you should treat the privacy, the contents of data, then you really cannot safely transfer data around. There are other aspects as well. For instance, copyright law. Many of these data are subject to copyright law, and that varies according to, well, who can claim copyright, can machines claim copyright, and also the extent of the protections. So there are conceptual difficulties, and when they come to write them down in trade agreements, it gets even more complicated, because typically they say, we really respect privacy, except, and one has layer upon layer of complexity to work through.
I was also interested that you pointed out in the ebook that a barrier to digital trade is often the lack of a regulation rather than the presence of a regulation as an obstruction to trade. Can you explain why that is?
Yes, so you can see this both from sort of the supply side, as far as firms are concerned, as well as from the demand side, as far as consumers are concerned. Now, transactions in an online world require trust. In particular, people want to be sure that their online behaviors and their digital transactions are not being unduly exploited, and that their data are safe, you know, like Alan said. And that requires requisite regulation and the ability of enforcement should breaches occur. And that's why the lack or the void of, for instance, legal protection to personal data creates an uncertainty that is not conducive to digital trade.
So if we're regulating trade in goods, then it's very clear what the multinational body is for that. It's had its problems recently, but the World Trade Organization is there and it's for that. Is it the right forum to be supervising digital trade, resolving the disputes around digital trade, or does digital trade need its own set of specialist institutions to do this?
I think the WTO is the body that oversees trade. And so if it's trade, in some sense, it falls fairly naturally to the WTO. What the WTO isn't at all well set up to do is to work out what the rules are or induce a sort of convergence in those rules. We do have one very interesting paper in the book by Patrick Labonde, and he argues that we should have something he refers to as an international data standards board. And this board would try, at least within a coalition of the willing, to evolve a set of standards that everybody accepted. And if they accepted that, then data could flow perfectly freely between them. That standard would then give a benchmark against which trade disputes might be brought. So that you say, look, you are a member of this group and you have signed up. We all have the same standards so we can accept each other's data, but you're not accepting our data in that respect. And now we are going to dispute that. That dispute probably belongs in the WTO and leave the board to evolve the cooperation and the standard development.
There is one innovation that is beginning to dominate this area, and that's artificial intelligence. And you point out the huge opportunity for citizens as well as private interests if artificial intelligence flourishes globally. But there is a problem, isn't there? There's problems of reconciling trade with domestic regimes, the fact that artificial intelligence needs data to move around as well. Can we resolve tensions like this? Will we do it on a case-by-case basis, or do we need clear international principles around privacy or governance?
Yes, that's exactly right, Tim. Artificial intelligence is data hungry, and that is a main angle how international trade comes in. I don't think we can make this up on the fly, but as you rightly said, you know, clear general principles around data governance and indeed, you know, a national artificial intelligence strategy, which many countries are contemplating, not all, but some, awfully complicated, and it does take time to deliberate. You know, one big issue, not the only one, but one big issue is algorithmic decision making, for instance. You know, last summer, the big outcry in the UK, there were plans moved to have, you know, algorithms estimate pupils' educational achievements in lieu of actually sitting the exams. That just is one incidence where it really, you know, brings to the fore how everyone as an individual is concerned by a stance on how we go about algorithmic decision making and artificial intelligence. I think from a trade perspective, an equally important aspect are these copyright issues and trade law issues that Alan was alluding to a minute ago, because these are the conditions under which AI applications can access the data and what kinds of data. It's probably important to point out there are different kinds of data. There's personal data, there is sensor data, there is machine-to-machine data, there's other proprietary data. And since most countries are too small to have large enough data sets domestically, you know, that data access question essentially is a question that immediately turns into an international trade question. But before a country can incorporate that into its trade strategy, there ought to be a sufficiently robust consensus at home as to what a society is willing to take in terms of risks and benefits from artificial intelligence.
There's also a very interesting paper in the book about source code disclosure, the codes that actually sort of create the artificial intelligence. But trade agreements and a number of examples are placing barriers on the right of one country to demand to see source code from another. And yet you can think of all sorts of public interest, public security reasons why a government might want to know about the code that is being used to drive particular functions in their country, even though those are coming from overseas. And so this is a very sensitive area so far as trade negotiations are concerned, and really a major challenge to work out how you weave this path between protecting the copyright, the intellectual property of the creators of the source code, and protecting the people on whom it is exercised when it's turned into artificial intelligence and decisions.
I think it goes to show how much trade policies becoming charged with other areas, legal aspects, ethical aspects, perhaps, and technological aspects as well, and other areas of public policy, really. That's what makes it so difficult and so challenging, but also, you know, so important to look at it and for that ebook to be so pertinent at that point in time.
And a final future challenge for this, of course, is any trade policy has to be made taking account of the fact that digital trade is dominated by global cloud providers like Google, Microsoft and Amazon, or large trading platforms. Well, Amazon comes into that one again, doesn't it? They're very powerful. They move data internationally, often without people really knowing that their data is moving around. Were you able to make any progress on thinking about this in the conference?
Is another big and very, very important area. To keep the conference manageable, we decided that competition policy would not be something that we would go into that conference. The digital economy is a platform economy to a large extent. And so in the same way as there needs to be some regulation and some rules that govern digital trade in the way that we've discussed, there needs to be the positive existence of some rules in the area of competition policy, whereas a void of such rules would actually then, I think, turn into an impediment to digital trade, really, to the detriment of consumers, first and foremost, I believe, but also to firms and smaller firms.
Well, maybe to discuss this in future, you need to organise another conference. But I think you need a little bit of time off first. Yeah,
we'll crowdfund the next one.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
And Ingo, thank you as well.
Thank you very much, Tim.
The ebook, as I said, is out. It is called Addressing Impediments to Digital Trade. It's a free download, and you will find that at Vox.eu. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week. So subscribe to Vox Talks, you never miss an episode. And remember, there are 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.